Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. 1 Thessalonians 3:6-13. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy you have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Amen.
Thank you very much, Joan, for reading of God's word. The message today I've entitled Authentic Love, Authentic Love. I want you to try in your minds to name five of the most wealthiest people in the world, or perhaps name five people who have won the Nobel Peace Prize. And now I want you to think of three friends who have helped you through a difficult time. Or perhaps think of a few people who have made you feel appreciated and special. See, the people that you never forget are not the ones with the most credentials, the one who have perhaps the most money or the most awards. The people who make a difference in your life and my life are the ones who care, and they will live forever in our hearts wherever we may travel. See, every Christian wants God to use his or her life to impact others for eternity. And this especially applies perhaps to our children, but also to our extended family and our friends, for those that we work with in the workplace. See, it is important for people for eternity that we must care about them so that we make a connection with those people. And our caring is often the key that, as it were, opens the door for us to have conversations about the gospel and about truths that are necessary to help them grow in their faith. In previous verses, we have learnt that it is if we truly care for one another, we will want to be together, we want to spend time together, we want to encourage one another so that we can grow spiritually. And this, I believe, are the marks of an authentic or a real church that has a genuine love for God and for God's family. I'm sure this is what we want for our church here in Tukley, and I know it is what Paul, our minister, is praying for. that we are part of this church community, that we serve one another, but also that we serve the community around us, so that the community can not see us, but see Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul shows us other aspects of truly caring for one another, and these are the two that we're looking from this passage. Firstly, if we are truly care for one another, we will rejoice when we hear of others' stability in the faith, and we will pray for their continual spiritual growth. In verse 6 to 10, Paul is overjoyed to hear Timothy's report of the Thessalonians' stability in faith. In verses 11 to 13, he expresses a prayer that he might be able to visit them and that they would continue to grow in their faith. The first one is, if we truly care for one another, we will rejoice when we hear of others' stability in faith. For Paul, the personal cost of being alone in Athens and then, of course, of Corinth was starting to affect his welfare. And so Paul sends Timothy back to the Thessalonians. Paul may have been noticed, but Timothy could slip quietly into the town, and so that he would not be able to visit the church. Paul was greatly concerned, praying constantly that the persecution had not caused these new believers to turn from the Lord, which could have happened. And when Timothy finally returned, and it's about a 10-day trip for him, plus time spent with the new believers, so perhaps it could have been a couple of months, he came and he gave Paul the good news about their spiritual condition. The first one is faith in Christ and love for God for others is a goal of our spiritual stability. In verse 6 it says, "But Timothy had just now come to us from you and brought you good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant or good memories of us and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you." I know for Christine and I, who have ministered in a number of churches in the last few years and developed close relationships with people, it's great to hear how they're going. I think of talking to a young couple that we met in Darwin, Nathaniel and Lily, a young couple who are serving, Nathan's a teacher, serving in Darwin. And it gives us joy. I was talking to him a couple of weeks ago, how the church in Darwin now has a pastor, and they're looking forward to moving forward after a number of year or so without having a minister. I heard about John, an elderly Christian man that we met in Ulverston, and John would be in his late 80s, and I had to laugh. He said to me he had to give up his push bike as he kept coming off, and the church deemed him that it was too dangerous. But he's still persevering in the faith. He's still sharing the gospel at his late age. And just recently talking with Yvonne and John, who've just gone and we miss them, and how they're settling in, as John said, with all the boxes still around him. See, it's good news to hear of how our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ are going. But here, Timothy's good news in the Greek, it's almost always used elsewhere of the gospel. That's what it is. It's so important here, the good news. His news about the Thessalonians was like hearing the gospel to Paul. His reaction caused his heart to leap with joy. I don't know whether you've been in a situation where your heart has leaped for joy. I was thinking for myself, the feeling for us fellows here of when we've proposed to the girls of our dreams and to marry. And I know my heart was pounding with joy as I left the farm, because Chris was on a dairy farm, and They lived on the main line to Nowra, to Sydney, to Bomaderry. They used to have big gates that you had to open to go through. And even those gates, I opened them with pleasure after that. That was a real joyful time for me. And perhaps you might have experienced that. Do we have that excitement when we hear of someone coming to the Lord? Last week at Franklin Grain, how wonderful that was there. That hundreds of people went forward and we prayed today. Diane prayed for those people that came forward at that crusade, and perhaps on Sunday night was the same. How wonderful it is when they come to the Lord. I was thinking of Ray and Judy Ann, who we know people here, that the news of their grandson who was terminally ill, who sadly has passed away with the Lord. But he came to the Lord before that time and he was baptised, and that was a grandparent's answer to prayer. What a joyful thing that was. So you notice faith and love are mentioned together. John Calvin calls them two qualities, the entire sum of true piety. That's what John Calvin says. That is, if as a Christians we practice these, we will be able to live a holy and acceptable life. See, faith is obvious, and faith in God. Yesterday afternoon, my two grandchildren came down to visit Chris, which was very nice for her, and I took them for a walk around the lake. They wanted to go to the water. As we walked along together, little Joe said to me, "Granddad, you can feel the wind, but you can't see it." She's only 5 and a half. This is wisdom of children, because that's what faith is like. We can't see God, but we can feel God, and God and Jesus is in us. And so faith in God and love, primarily here, is for one another, but of course it's love for God. When Jesus reinstated Peter after his failure, he asked 3 times of Peter, "Do you love me?" Remember that story. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16, "If anyone does not love the Lord, they are to be accused." The church in Ephesus was commended in many ways, but rebuked because it had left its first love for Jesus behind. In Revelations 2, 1-7, "But love for the Lord is inseparable from love of people of whom God has laid down his life." See, loving others is not an option. Loving others is compulsory, and we need to do that. And so that includes people that perhaps that we don't get on with or perhaps we don't agree with. So it includes both love for each other and love for God. In Paul's other letter, he often links faith and love together in Corinth, in Galatia, in Ephesians and Timothy, in Titus. And these two qualities seem important to Paul in his final 2 letters to Timothy. In Timothy 1, he says, "The goal of this command," and that's against false teaching, is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. In Timothy, under the heading of workmanship approved by God, it says in verse 22, "Flee from evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." So with other essential qualities such as holiness, we can say that faith and love are 2 prime marks of a genuine Christianity and of a genuine church. We must believe in God and the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. We must continue trusting God even when it gets hard, as the Thessalonians were going through. Remember, we need to love God first, and Lena made this point, how important it is. We have to love God first, we love others second, and we love ourselves last. Because the world's the other way around. You watch the ad for the TV. You deserve it. You deserve that holiday. You deserve the praise. You put yourself first. But as Christians, it's the other way around. It's God first, others second, ourselves last. And that's what Paul is saying to this church, that it's important. Remember that God first. See, when God's people are walking in faith and love, they are spiritually stable, which is important. Secondly, joy over someone's stability in faith can bring encouragement while we're going through affliction. In verse 7, therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we're encouraged about you because of your faith. Paul had been going through hard times. In every city where he preached, he was either beaten, he was put in stocks, he was thrown into prison. Philippi, he was forced to leave Thessalonians because of persecution. The Jews in Thessalonica followed him to Berea to stir up trouble as well, and he had to leave there as well. In fact, Paul was fearful that he would be harmed in the church in Corinth. In Acts 18, don't be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in the city. So Paul needed encouragement and comfort from God in the midst of battle. For us here in Australia, we haven't really suffered. Our brothers and sisters in many countries, closed countries, are suffering. And we need to remember those brothers and sisters in Christ. I was just reading about in China, that the church in China is now splintered into small groups, and they're now saying that those groups are going to have to even be smaller than they are now because the authorities are going to be after them. So remember our brothers and sisters in those countries. We get it pretty easy. But of course, many of us are suffering from other discouragement, with perhaps physical pain that we're going through, perhaps mental health issues that we may suffer, perhaps family breakdowns. And when we hear of how God uses others to bring to Christ, helps us to stand firm. And so it's so important to stand firm for him. Joy over someone's stability in faith reflects our true values. Verses 8 and 9 says, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Which of the following situations could cause you to erupt in spontaneous joy and thanksgiving? I was thinking, when the boss gives you a raise, perhaps. When the salesman gives you the key to your new car, when you get in and you smell your new car. These are good things, of course. Or you meet a friend whom you haven't seen for a long time, who is persevering in the faith. What is your value? Is it earthly or is it spiritual? That's what I'm saying here. Is our minds on the earthly things or the spiritual things of life? That's what makes Paul's heart leap for joy. That's which makes us really happy and reveals our true value in life. And that's the challenge for you and I. Are our values in life earthly things or are they heavenly things? Are we working just for this earth, things that disappear, money, property, whatever we may have, that will all disappear? Or are we working, are we doing things for heavenly things with the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ? I think that's a real challenge for all of us, especially for those of us that perhaps are retired. The use of our time. Do we say, oh, well, I'm going to use it for my own pleasure? There's many. I remember when I retired from many years in the education, they said, Ian, you can do what you like. You can play golf three times a week. I said, well, I don't play golf. You know, you can do whatever you like. It's all for you now. You've got a pension and you can do what you like. But that's not for the Christian, because the Christian, being a Christian, continues on. We never retire from being a Christian. Paul didn't take the credit, again, for the stability that he saw within the church. He'd rather be thanking God for them because of their perseverance through persecution, show that God was truly at work in them because without God they could not continue in their faith. The term stand firm is often used. It's a military term. It means that we don't retaliate, we don't fall back after in the battle. To stand firm in the Lord implies that they were truly in the Lord through faith in Christ and that he was their refuge. When the enemy attacked, they fled to the Lord and trusted in him. The challenge is for us, do we do that? Do we stand firm in the faith when someone might say something against us? It might be about our faith in the workplace or in a community group that we're in. Do we stand firm? Do we stand firm? There are plenty of examples in the Bible. Remember when David was hiding in the cave, I was thinking of Saul and his troops were seeking his life, and he sang. And I was thinking about, imagine, fairly quietly probably, not too loud. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises. Do we do that in amongst the things that happen to us? I pray that we do. So far we have seen faith in Christ and love of God and for one another are the goals of spiritual stability. Joy over someone's stability in faith can give encouragement when we're going through affliction. And joy over someone's stability in the faith reflects the true value. And stability of faith comes from teaching God's word. In verse 10, as we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and complete what is lacking in your faith. See, Paul's main way of assisting them was by teaching God's word, the word that he had. And this is the same for us in 2019. And of course, here in our church here, we're blessed with Paul and his biblically based ministry. The word for complete refers to equipping, supplying, a lack of ministry that needs supplying. Paul uses this in Ephesians 4 verse 12, where he says that God gave the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. What does it say? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. See, teaching is important so we understand who God really is, so that when trial comes, we know we are firmly founded. There are so many philosophies in this world. You read it in every magazine. This is the way to have happiness. This is the way we need to go, whether it be this diet or that diet or follow this. I remember, and I might have told you the story, while I was in Shepparton, and we were handing Bibles out, actually Arabic Bibles in Shepparton, because there's a lot of Muslim people in Shepparton. And I came across this Indian man, and I was talking to him. And I always remember there, he said to me, he said, you know, there are many ways and they all lead to God. And I remember him doing his hand like this. And I said, sorry, that's not true. That's not true. And he looked at me. I said, look, the only way is through Christ. That is the only way. And I had a Bible, an English Bible. I didn't have any Bible for him, but I left him a Bible. I said, read it. So important. We've got to follow God's word. If not, we're going to be sucked away. The Thessalonians lacked what was not because of sin, but rather they lacked full motivation that comes through understanding of the truth revealed in God's word. And that's why we study God's word. That's why we read God's word in the church. That's why we go to Bible study. And I encourage people to go to a growth group. And we have many of them in the church where we look at God's word and we talk about it. We help one another. We share it. Secondly, if we truly care, remember we're looking for authentic love, we will pray for others' continued spiritual growth. There are three things The first one is our prayers should be heartfelt. I'd say they're fair dinkum. That's an Aussie saying, fair dinkum. You know, I don't know whether we use that nowadays. You know, are you true about it? And it says there we need to be fervent day and night. Paul means frequently and repeatedly. And do we have the best list of people? And our church has a prayer list. And please pray for people. But do we pray for others' spiritual stability and growth? I know one church I was at, we used to have one family every week that we would pray for. I think it's important that we pray for one another. I know within our growth group, that's what we do. And in our growth group, we've actually decided at the start of our growth group, we're going to have about 15 minutes of prayer before we get into our study, so we can pray for one another. We must be careful not to turn our fervency and earnestness into a basis of why God should grant them. People say to me, oh, I'm praying and praying and praying. Why isn't it happening? Well, it's not according to God's will. That's where we pray. We should always come to him based on the merit of Jesus Christ and his grace. Never on any worthiness in us. That's important. It's not because of us at all. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we shouldn't just knock and run prayers, as I call them. I don't know if you like kids. They used to, thankfully as a teacher, I didn't get many of these. The kids would knock on the door like that about 11 o'clock at night and run off, of course. You know those sorts of prayers. Do we really mean our prayers when we say them? The biblical principle is like in Matthew 7, where it talks about knock and keep knocking, keep praying. For Paul, it was about 5 years before he was granted the opportunity to return in Acts 20. Our prayers are directed at our God and Father and Jesus our Lord. In verse 11, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ clear the way for us to come to you. Notice three things, short requests, show Jesus' deity: his close association with his Father, his ability to hear and answer prayer, and his designation as Lord. Since Paul mentioned this in passing, we assume perhaps Paul talked about the deity of Jesus. He explained it to those people in those short months. This teaches us when we pray, we come to a loving Heavenly Father who cares for his children. Our prayers should be focused on the spiritual growth of others. In verse 12 and 13, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow, a bit like the beautiful cream over here, overflow just as ours does for you. May the strength of your heart so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of God and Father when our Lord Jesus Christ comes with all holy ones. Here, spiritual growth means increased love. Remember, the theme today is authentic love, real love. We should be growing in love for our family members, for those in the family of God, and also our love should increase for all other people, our community that we are in, your individual community, wherever you are. In verse 15 indicates that we live this way, loving others in view of the fact that we will soon stand before our God and Father at the coming of the Lord Jesus with all his saints or holy ones. It is used in Zechariah 14, verse 5, a reference in this section of Scripture, refers to angels. But Paul uses it exclusively here to refer to believers as well as angels. So when Christ returns, he will be accompanied by his holy angels and also believers, you and I, and those who have died. And we who are living will be caught up to meet the Lord, the glorious company in the air. And so we shall always be with him. Remember what I was talking about. Where is our values? Here on this earth, or is it heavenly? See, Paul's prayer was that he might complete what was lacking in their faith. His prayers here ties us back with their work of faith, their love, and their steadfastness of hope. as we looked at a few weeks ago. The reality is that we will never reach a point where we can say that we have arrived in faith. And in our Bible study group, we had quite a discussion on this. When do we arrive at that? Well, we don't. See, we need to pray for increasing and abundant faith and love so that we can have love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, for our family members and for those around us. Conclusions. Firstly, if we are truly care for one another, we will want to be together to strengthen and encourage one another spiritually. Secondly, we will find true joy when we hear of others who stand firm through trials they may be facing. And thirdly, we pray for one another for continued spiritual growth. Let us be a church that demonstrates authentic love, and I mean genuine love for one another, and all of that love is to God's glory. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word that you've given us. Father, pray that each one of us will allow your Holy Spirit to work in us so that we can love each other, so we can care for one another as a church family. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.